MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to The Greatest, a production of iHeartRadio. Welcome to another episode of The Greatest. I am Megan Gailey, joined in my backyard by my husband and co-host CJ Toledano.
Hello, yes, we're in person. I mean, me and you are always in person. I'm using a different microphone. It's weird. We're set up and we actually have our guest here, which who I'm excited to get to.
Yeah, it's really exciting to be in our backyard and be in person with a guest. Mm-hmm. We are joined today by our dear friend, hilarious comedian. She has a Netflix special called The Degenerates. She's been on Seth Meyers.
Not the person, the
she
show.
She is the queen of all of our hearts. Returning to The Greatest, please welcome Lisa Traeger.
Hello. I'm really happy to be here. The yard is lovely. Nice LA sunshine. And both of you with novelty t-shirts.
Listen, actually, this is my doing. I've definitely in quarantine been like, we need comfy clothes.
Tell the people what you're wearing,
CJ.
Yeah,
I'm wearing a Dynaco gas station shirt, which is the gas station in Cars.
And a Space Jam quilted hat.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Embroidered.
Listen, when you put Space Jam merch up on the internet, it's hard for me to say no.
And I am wearing a giant Cedar Point shirt.
Yeah, Megan's fashion for sure has changed post-meeting CJ.
There's no doubt about what our actual fashion is, though, these days. Do we?
No. Right now, my fashion is what do I fit into? And then that's it. And then I leave the house. And then I go, oh, I guess this is out now, too.
I put jeans on last week just to feel what that's like.
And?
They still fit, but different, like, I'm like, there was more room in the knee. Like, my knees didn't
yeah,
wait.
Well, the other night I had jeans on and I was like, because I did outdoor comedy for the first time. And I'm telling you, like, you don't know, but you obviously know. And so I had these jeans on and I was like, do these look too tight? And CJ goes, just loosen the belt. And I'm like, no, it's the thighs. Like, there's no way to loosen the thigh belt that's happening.
Yeah, it's wild out there. But today is my day one of no sweets. I think I can do it.
No sweets.
I think as long as I have bread and cheese, I can do no sweets. I'm going to try.
What is your favorite sweet? Not to already, like, right off the bat tell you.
I think
yourself.
What I eat the most is probably, like, a gummy candy, a mm-hmm. fruit snack, and a little treat.
That one's tough to give up because, like, technically it is fat-free.
Yeah. When I first met you,
I'm
Megan.
I was like, fat-free.
Yeah. When I first met you, Megan, and you, like, brought those out, and I think I was, like, watching my weight at that time, and you were like, they're fat-free. And I'm like, But there's also 40 pounds of sugar in this.
I'm not saying it's like a rational thought, but that's, I always think of gummy candies as like the healthiest candy.
Yes. Yeah. Agree. I mean, it's better than a Snickers. It's gotta be.
I think it's gotta be.
But then like Snickers have protein.
Snickers are amazing. I mean, yeah, it's, but lately it's been cakes. We went to a pop-up to pick up desserts from a famous chef.
Yeah.
And I couldn't decide. And I'm like, I've wanted to eat this chef's food for forever. Who knows when I'll ever be able to? And so I got three things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's kind of how I've been
cooking
too. And
they were fucking delicious.
Thank you, Natasha.
I just been like looking at food. I'm like, when am I ever going to get to do this?
Exactly. Well, she's a James Beard nominee. It's like, I got to get a taste of a sopressata, whatever it was. What was it, Megan?
I don't even know what you're trying to describe.
The passion fruit thing.
I can't recall. I don't remember.
Semifredo.
And then, semifredo.
Yeah.
Semifredo.
Yeah, because Kara knew how to say it, and she kept saying it.
She's lived in Italy.
Yeah.
The three of us, we're kind of a circle of death when it comes to food, too.
That's our problem area. We have attachment to foods.
Yes.
This group.
And it makes us feel good and happy right now when so few things are.
My favorite story of the past quarantine was us being filled to the brim and seeing a picture of a Big Mac and getting McDonald's.
Yeah.
And getting two like main protein items per person too.
Yeah.
Well, that's why the other night I had texted you that Jack Black had made a surf and turf burger, which to him was, he got McDonald's. It was for his birthday, right? And he got a quarter pounder, a Big Mac, and he took the middle piece out and he put a fish fillet in the middle and then he put sweet and sour and ketchup on the top. And, I it looked good to me. And
not
you guys
me.
Were like, it looks good. And then we all had McDonald's the next day.
Yeah. It did not look good to me.
I would try it, though, because I love the crunch of the fish fillet, and a Big Mac is, like, my favorite from childhood. It's my favorite item, I would say. No, we love food, and even, I think we were watching a sport recently, and I noticed the Taco Bell advertising in the background of the people playing.
It's Taco Bell's a big House of Highlights sponsor.
CJ he's bought into all the bubble advertising hook, line, and sinker. We've become a Michelob Ultra home because of Jimmy Butler and the man who cleans his room in the commercials.
Yeah.
You're like, it's good. And I'm like, wow, they got you, CJ.
I've had spurts of being active and like healthy. I would just believe them because they have a fancy bottle.
Well, it is the lowest calorie beer.
But then I saw a Miller Lite commercial where a dude just throws like a what are those called? Like a 36 pack on the counter at a gas station. And it says only one more calorie than Michelob.
Whoa, they're coming for them. I like how that, like, I want beer, but it has to be the lowest calories.
And you're
it's
a
like,
Bud
it's
Light
beer.
Person?
I'm a Miller High Life, I would say.
Yeah, I like
I'm a High Life girl, but I love a plain beer. I like a Miller, a Bud, and then I love a Corona.
Oh, Ashley
Corona
Darby.
Pacifica.
Yeah. One time, an old friend of ours, Sean Flannery, told me Corona is good for your throat. And I know it's a lie, but I've kept it. And every time I have a tickle in my throat, pre-COVID, of course, and I had a show or it was time to do lots of shows for a week, and I'm like, Corona's going to soothe my throat.
Wow.
And so I've, like, tricked myself into loving it.
Taking health advice from a man who created a show called The Blackout Diaries.
who was told he had cancer and refused to remove it because he was too busy.
I believe he's walked off a roof before, too, but... Listen, he said Corona's going to heal my itchy throat, and I believe him.
You know what I fucking love? Oh, God, what I miss. What was that place called? It was in the middle of fucking the businessy part of Times Square, Hell's Kitchen, Mexican spot, and they would put Coronas flipped into, frozen drinks.
They have that all over LA.
I know, but memory to me in New York, in the middle of everyone in business outfits, like, hustling and bustling, and then I'm just drinking a giant
margarita
frozen
with a Corona.
What is that called?
I'm like young, I'm early mid-20s, life is
that was
great.
You were Sex in the City all in that. That was your Cosmo.
I fucking hate the turn on Sex in the City so much. People being like,
we're not against it.
The idea like Carrie's the worst. And I'm like, she is an annoying person and you all are like her. So you hate yourselves more than anything.
Where's this turn occurring?
Just on the internet and in the zeitgeist, like when you talk to people, it's like the go-to conversation is Carrie sucks and that
it's like not feminist
and it's outdated. And of course it's outdated.
Yeah.
It was cutting edge 20 years ago. Of course it's going to be outdated.
But we love it.
But she's not canceled.
No,
it's just that's what the first conversation always is. And it bothers me.
Yeah, because it's
instead of being like that fashion, her hair, the apartment, the acting,
like
the friendship.
Really good show.
Yes.
I think some of that, too, is it's like a really good show that like women liked. And so, of course, it's going to be shit on.
Because no one ever goes, wow, Tony Soprano's a piece of shit. Walter White, what a fucking numbnut.
They do, though.
Now that's not
Walter White. I've seen some of the argument, but I'm sure. Yeah, I'm not. I haven't seen. I don't follow the people who are giving Sex and the City discourse.
Yeah.
I think some people are like, I can't watch Breaking Bad and root for this drug dealer.
Oh, really?
But not like an outcry. I'm just like, I'll keep scrolling and I'll be like, you're a nerd.
Who? I've never seen that. That seems crazy. It's a show about a drug dealer. Watch it.
Yeah. It's very good. Well, let's shift to sports here.
Oh, wow.
Lisa,
is that a long non-sport thing?
I just want to make sure we get to the topic.
Yeah.
But I wanted to.
Don't want to disrespect.
Our listeners, they love a little Sex in the City. Trip down memory lane.
You know, she fucked a baseball player, a New York Yankee,
Okay. They go to a Yankees game, and then she has her. They're like wasted, and she has her press pass, and so they get to like meet a guy.
Interesting.
Yeah,
it's totally like a thing in our world that we've seen.
There was they go ice skating. Is there really never a Knicks? Oh, Samantha meets a guy at a bar, and he's a sports nut, like at a sports bar, and he only fucks her if the Knicks win. And then when the Knicks season is over, she's relieved she's going to get fucked more often, but then he switches to baseball, and she goes, I'm out of here.
And he Miranda dates baseball? The Knicks doctor.
Yes, Dr. Robert Leeds.
And she thinks he likes a cheerleader.
Who is that played by?
Blair Underwood.
Ooh, yeah, he's a sexy fan.
Yeah, he's real sexy.
All right, chill out, ladies.
Okay, so today's topic is greatest tearjerker.
I did want to see how Lisa is, like, consuming sports.
No, I was going to ask her favorite. What's been your favorite recent sports moment?
I think I'll say Naomi.
Yeah, Naomi Osaka.
Tennis, that's been. I haven't really watched your Bubble Machine show.
Thank you.
That's been a highlight.
You loved the boyfriend flipping off. You saw Naomi and her boyfriend. What is her boyfriend's name?
Corday. YBN Corday.
Okay, thank you. They're like on center court after they've won and everything. And, you know, she's maybe holding and he's like flipping. And everybody got so mad. And it's like, he's so cool.
Yeah,
I don't know anything about her boyfriend, actually.
Yeah,
I can't wait.
He's a famous rapper.
Yeah, he's really
cool.
He
has a new song out with Roddy Ricch.
And they have fun shots of him celebrating when she won. Yeah, they're a great couple.
And it's just like, again, with the sport of tennis, usually it's like, and it still exists, but just like this vibe of, you know, fancy and like
country club. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like these two are just for
tennis
Naomi to be one of the best.
Yes.
Yeah. And then her
boyfriend
being a rapper.
And they don't just mean the clothes.
Awesome. Yeah.
I also did like the picture Megan posted of all the moms, young moms with their babies in the bubble watching their men play.
Yeah.
That I liked, of course.
It's been sad when teams have gone home. Like when the Raptors went home, I was like, I'm not ready to say goodbye to the Van Vliet kids. You know, like there's like families I've fallen in love with.
But then there's new kids. There's new kids now.
Yeah.
We got little Dion Waiters hanging out with LeBron.
Yeah, but he's like older. He's like 8.
Yeah, but he's funny because he still has like the bravado of Dion Waiters.
Yeah, he is funny.
I also like that Bronny's favorite player is not LeBron.
Yes.
I learned that.
Well,
so I enjoyed that.
I think it's part, like, he has other favorite players. I bet you he is, like,
my dad is cool
and is one of the best players of all time.
Yeah. But if he had a room full of posters of his dad, we'd be like, okay, Bronny. You know, we'd make fun of him.
There's this whole world on YouTube where people, because you can go on NBA 2K or these video games. I mean, your nephews probably do this, but, like, and you can like stream yourself playing it and people will engage with your like type comments and people would ask like, who's your top 5 favorite players? And he like still lists his dad in there, but he like still hates his dad's opponents like the same way that fans do, which is really fun.
Yeah, but isn't Russ his favorite player?
Yeah, but like I think the Kawhi rivalry is very real.
Oh, he does not pick Kawhi.
Because like someone would be like, Kawhi's better and he'd be like, no.
Oh, okay. Well, that's nice. I like that.
And it's true. He's not better.
Yeah, you gotta keep the enemies on one side in a family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Caroline Manzo.
Who's that? Is that a housewife?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And she's the one that's like, my family is thick as thieves.
Yeah.
You do not mess with my, you look like a clown. She's like the most. And then after the first season of New Jersey, obviously, Andy was like, no, you know, people have brought up a lot of like maybe mafia connections. And they're like, we are not a part of the mafia. My father-in-law was murdered by the mafia. And you're like, what? It seems like you are a part of the mafia.
Oh, and I didn't watch this, but I was told called this, but I love a buzzer beater win.
Yeah.
So that
Oh, yeah, yeah, because, yeah.
The Lakers, I heard one in the last second.
AD, Sunday night. Sunday night.
Last night. Yeah.
Okay, so we're doing greatest tearjerkers. CJ joked last night that every moment is a tearjerker for me. So,
well, no, I agree because I cry at all Olympics. There'll be a loser and I'm crying. I don't remember who it is,
yeah.
But like when they do the biopics and then they're crying, winning the gold, and
yes.
their families cheering, I cry a lot. So it was actually really hard to pinpoint and remember the ones that stick to my mind, because I'm sure I cried when Michael Phelps won and his mom was crying.
Of course.
I'm sure.
Well, the Olympics, like, nails human interest better than the other sports because they do have so many packages getting to know the people.
You know what's so funny? I was once in Oslo, Norway, watching track and field on the TV, and I saw a comedian in the States tweeting about it. And I was like, oh, are they showing this? And I'm like, oh, yeah, they're showing the Norwegian packages here.
Right.
So it was
yeah.
fun to see the packages in different countries.
You're getting to know the other players.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I think like in the U.S., they end up showing other country, like spotlighting a foreign athlete if their story is like really exceptional or they've like lived through something that like America's helped them with, you know?
Well, yeah, they'll always do a Russian gymnastics package, you know?
Yeah.
Or like a Romanian girl.
Because we're fascinated by that.
Yeah.
So yeah, this was definitely
this was a last minute choice.
Yeah,
and it was exciting.
And it brings I personally I've mentioned a lot of moments Naomi Osaka and Coco Gauff like that. I brought that one up in press conferences, and so I for the listeners I tried to pick ones that I have not picked for other things before.
Oh, you guys did best press conferences.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cool. We've done some really specific ones and some really broad. This is like a broader.
Was it a
like
journalist who did the?
It was our friend Adam Lefko who okay. Hosts the Tuesday night edition of Inside the NBA. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Cool guy. Cool voice, too. OK, so Lisa, since you are guest on our show and guest in our backyard, please give us your number three pick for greatest tearjerkers.
So I'm really excited about this. I didn't see it live in how it happened. I saw it in an episode of Iconoclasts on Sundance Channel.
Yeah.
OK.
And it was Tony
this?
Hawk with Jon Favreau, one
cool.
of the best episodes. And I've cried multiple times throughout that episode. And then we were watching YouTube clips out here. And it came up, and I was like, this is my favorite. And so it's Tony Hawk landing the 900 for the first time.
Yeah.
And I just love perseverance, and I love the idea of, like, falling and falling and falling, and you keep going and you keep going, and then, like, landing, falling to your knees, grabbing your board, and then everyone comes and hugs you. It's just, like, ultimate.
And did he nail it at a tournament? Was it?
Yeah, okay. The 99X Games.
Okay, 99X Games. Oh, yeah, baby.
Which is, I mean, yeah, it was, like, a huge event. Like, they were, like, he's going to attempt it at that. Like, it wasn't in competition with anybody, him doing that. I don't think, right?
No, it was like you get an amount of time. The
gotcha,
event
gotcha.
Is like you get 15 minutes and do as many tricks and cool point things you can.
Cool point things
and
you can.
And he was just like, I'm gonna fucking, I'll land this.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy.
I don't
crazy.
Care about anything else. And he has another tearjerker because his father died right before the first X Games and his dad did so much work for that. And so that's, he has a few tearjerkers to me.
Yeah, Tony Hawk has been... He's been present in our lives recently, too.
Not mine, but
why?
Yours.
I just, he came out with a new video game. I love everything about Tony Hawk. His story is like...
his cribs.
Yeah.
His
kids.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
I was like,
weird.
I like him skateboarding holding a baby.
Yeah.
Like, I wish he didn't have so many wives. Like, I'd like to know the what's happening
Tony
there.
Tony Hawk had a bunch of wives?
He has a bunch of wives, I
wow.
would say. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. He's hot and rich. I mean,
whoa.
And I'm sure he's like self-centered a little. Superstar.
I mean,
but
I was going to say
so
he
cool.
wasn't very selfish, or but who knows? You know, relationships work don't work out for
several oh, for
reasons.
Sure. That's the only thing where I'm like, what are you doing here?
Listen, I think what CJ's trying to say is it's the women's fault.
Yeah,
it's the
yeah.
women's fault.
But I do like, yeah, I do
and
love
I love
Tony Hawk.
On Twitter, he tweets funny conversations he'll have with people coming up to him being like, you look like Tony Hawk.
Yeah.
And then he'll be like, I am. And they're like, you're too old.
Oh, my gosh. That reminds me of another tearjerker Tony Hawk moment. On TikTok, there was a just there's a lot of like delivery people or like FedEx people. And this FedEx guy who's like friends with the people he delivers to. a little girl came up to him and was like, can you give this letter to Tony Hawk? And again, he doesn't know Tony Hawk. She just thinks like that's, it's like Santa, like how that's how mail works. And he posted him reading the letter on TikTok to Tony Hawk, asking for a board. Like the board was, or the girl was like, I need a new skateboard. Tony, can, is there any way you can give me one? He read out loud. And then Tony Hawk went and delivered a new skateboard to her.
Oh my God. In person. Yeah. I knew he would probably give her the skateboard, but that was an additional nice touch.
Yeah.
Of showing up in person.
I know. This
he seems lucky. I bet he knows, like, he's like, holy shit. It's kind of like you where you're like, oh, okay. I guess this is my job.
Yeah.
Like he's a lucky guy.
I think he feels the luck.
Yeah. That's why I think he's so cool.
Yeah. I know that mail is not part of the sports world, but mail stories are really getting me tearjerkers right now. I'm really into all the mail. Okay, Lisa, great first pick. CJ, you want to go?
Yeah, I'll go.
Okay.
I would say, I mean, this year has been the year I've cried the most watching sports. And so I would just say all of, just like everything that the Lakers have done. I mean, obviously the Kobe stuff. And then it was just like every response to that from the team, from the league, I've like cried. Like the LeBron, I think LeBron giving the speech before their first game is one of like the strongest I've ever seen an athlete, a person give. Like he didn't have to do that. And then last night, when, again, we were talking about earlier, AD hitting the buzzer beater, you just think about it. And so I don't know if you guys knew this, but he said Kobe when he shot it. And that went viral on Twitter. And it just like, I just bawling. Cause yeah, I mean, before I even said Kobe, I was like bawling, but you just, everything that they have had to go through, like we are all like, this is sad, this is crazy. Like basketball in general reminds you of it. But like, yeah, the Lakers have endured so much, I think. And I know I'm a little bit biased, but for them to continue to excel and play is just so, yeah.
Yeah, they have a lot on their plates right now. I didn't know you were going to go Kobe right out of the game.
I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
I definitely knew we were going to be talking about Kobe.
I thought it was going to be your, I guess, yeah, maybe it's going to be your number two and your number one pick, too. I wouldn't be surprised.
And the thing is, I've said on this podcast I didn't like Kobe before, and then it took that, and then I was like, man, it made me think about life and humans and
yeah,
and all that. And then just seeing everyone's response and like the way they're using him as inspiration and all that. It's just like,
Lisa, what'd you say yesterday? You were like, we didn't realize how much we loved him, or like he
grew up with him too. My story with Kobe is I never thought about him.
Yeah,
I know of him. As a thing, I didn't even know he had four kids. Like I didn't, but I did. I do remember that cute moment with him and like Gianna in the front, mm-hmm. front row, mm-hmm. courtside. But the moment I found out he died, I was sad, crying, and I probably cried for weeks.
Yeah.
And I don't. So to me, it's like it's about how many people you touch, and he's touched everybody, mm-hmm. even people that thought that they don't care. I was like truly devastated,
yeah,
for a long time. And I, you know, now I follow
Vanessa
and sad all the time,
yeah,
but also nice. I like seeing the kids
and Pau's daughter being born and having Jonna as a middle name and Vanessa being his godmother, like, and those things make us
it's
cry
also
too.
Nice to see that people continue their support of her, because I think mm-hmm. what happens with grief or when people lose someone, it's like there's a hoopla and then they're left alone, and it feels good to see that she's not being left alone.
Right.
People are there for her.
Yeah, they talk about, like, in the process of grief when, like, the calls stop coming and people stop visiting, and that's when you're, like, really alone with it. But it seems like they have a very, very strong support system. So, oh, boy. Okay.
Sorry.
Yeah, and we talked about, too, just he is, like, he's an example of redemption at its best.
Yes.
Where he admitted wrong, grew, and then every action in his life was positive.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Megan?
He was young.
Okay. I think you guys are going to make fun of me for this one.
Please.
It's the 2001, so the first NFL games after 9/11.
Yeah, no, this is a great one.
Okay, I thought we were...
I can't even pretend to get involved in this one. Like, so, I don't even know what you're talking about.
The game... So the weekend of 9/16, that Saturday, all of those games were postponed. It was week two of the NFL. And then they moved those games to January, and then they played the rest of the schedule as usual. So they went back to playing on September 23rd, and the Giants were obviously kind of... The Giants and the Jets, to some extent, were like the teams that everybody was like looking at and where are they going to be. And a lot of the Giants had met with first responders. And so the Giants were actually playing in Kansas City, and there were signs everywhere that were like Kansas City loves New York and all of this like show of patriotism. And you could tell that the Giants players had just like truly been affected and felt it in their core and felt like they like needed to win. And the thing that's so, it was like beautiful. And that was such a uniquely like powerful time in our country that like we clearly don't have anymore, because you see this like outpouring of support from the entire Chiefs fan base at the game. And it just like struck me how odd and how like sad that where we are now, that like when there was a moment of unity between the Chiefs and the Texans on opening night, those fans booed. And it's like just 19 years ago, you were like, we'll do this for America. Like they were almost like cheering for the Giants that game. And the Giants ended up beating the Chiefs in that first game back. But it's like, fuck, like these are the this is the same fan base that was like making signs being like, we love you, New York. And now they're booing when players are like joining in a moment of just saying like, hey, we'd like to be together.
Yeah.
So I guess it was a tearjerker, and now it's like an anger jerker.
Do you think the Chiefs tried their hardest in that game?
Yeah, they weren't. I don't think they were that good then, but I think the Giants like had destiny on their side, which I think is kind of how people feel about the Lakers this season. Like that exists in sports where there's like a story that's so big with the Saints and Katrina. Like they just have. If you're not from that fan base, everyone is rooting for, you know, like everybody gets behind them and they just feel this like higher calling.
So is everyone rooting for the Lakers this year?
No, but they should be. But they should be.
I'm getting hate texts for some reason.
Well, there's just a lot of Lakers haters.
Well, I know you said people were happy that the Clippers were out.
No.
Well, I think Clippers fans were sad, but then I think other people were.
Did you know the comedy community is big Clippers?
No, because I just thought of our friend Noah when the Nuggets won.
Oh, yes,
I just was like, oh, he'll be happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I don't really know. I just know we like the coach.
Vogel, yeah. Old Pacers.
Oh, no,
coach.
She means Doc Rivers.
Oh, Doc Rivers. Yeah. We like Doc. We like Doc. He has some flaws. Basketball-wise.
Who does?
Anyways, oh, okay. But yeah, and the return, I mean, that's what my friends and I, we always look up like, classic Conan episodes, and Conan and SNL, just seeing the return to sports and an attempt at normalcy, which we've seen several misstarts in the last few months, is except for the bubble, it's just a lot that we put a lot of weight on such trivial things in our lives, and it's crazy to see when sports handle it.
Well, and I do think this 9/11 like instance that I'm bringing up has been used a lot incorrectly in the last few months to be like, see how much it healed us. And it's like, for sure, understand that. But this is a different situation. This is a pandemic where if people are close to each other, they could potentially kill each other. So, yes, like we would love to be able to do that. But like you're comparing apples to oranges here.
Also, if you guys just fucking united and wore masks and behaved and thought it was real, we could have had a sports season.
Exactly.
You want... I mean, to put all these players in danger and everything when you won't even do the bare minimum.
Yes.
Like, go fuck yourself. Right. So people have to live away from their families and isolate and get tested constantly for you. Like, the entitlement people feel to famous people, but athletes in particular.
Yes.
Is fucked. I'm sure there's a lot of race things associated with it, but the shut up and drip, all of that is just disgusting.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. Where it's like you work at a shoe store, but you can talk about your opinions, but this person can't. I just don't understand. I hate it.
We hate it too, Lisa. And I think most of our listeners do too. Okay, let's take a quick break and then we will be right back with our number two picks.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And guess what? So are we.
Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a six-time finalist and a Challenge champion.
And I'm Anissa Ferrer, and I've been gracing your screens for the last two decades. I am a veteran challenger and Challenge All-Star.
And speaking of All-Stars, All-Stars 4 is finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the Challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one all-star will claim the title of Challenge Champion.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, and we are back with our number two picks in greatest tearjerkers.
So I'm excited because I was there. At the event, but I said this latest U.S. women's soccer team parade, the ticker tape parade. I was lucky enough to go, and I went with my friend Julia, and she was crying more than me. And after she explained it to me on our walk out of there, I cried more too. But just being there was insane. It was like, so many people downtown, the team, they're such inspirations. And I just love watching champions party and how hard they've worked and just seeing people like cheer for them. And then the additional stuff that my friend brought to my attention was she said she'd never seen men in female jerseys before. She was like, that has never happened. She goes, I've never seen a man wear a woman's jersey. And so that was a lot. And she also said being downtown, being by the New World Trade Center building, you know, and just thinking about 9/11 and how fast New York has rebuilt. And then we're all here together celebrating this amazing team and just seeing all the young girls. And it was really exciting.
Yeah,
it was really exciting.
The women's soccer team is like every iteration of them. You know, like we've talked about Brandi Chastain on like she was one of our greatest celebrations. And then they really women's soccer and women's U.S. tennis fill me personally with so much joy because it really does feel like that glass ceiling has been broken because the amount of people that watch them and root for them is equal to, if not surpassed, what the men get.
Yeah, I just, unfortunately, you were saying that and I was like, but they're not. They won't pay them even
equal.
They
won't pay them.
They won't even acknowledge. It's just, it is so fucked up. And there was some tennis guy talking shit about the women's tennis recently.
They're always.
But then we have Andy Murray, right? He's the good one.
Well, I like all the Andes.
Okay, but there's one thing I always see on Instagram where a person goes, you're the first tennis player to achieve this thing. Right. And he goes, actually, Sarizen has achieved this multiple times.
Right.
So obviously, I love him.
Yeah, I do think men's tennis is, besides Djokovic and his like crew of men who joined this weird federation for just men, I think that a lot of the, I hear Andy Roddick, you hear the commentators who end up being former tennis players giving women's tennis the props that it, I mean, it kind of carries the sport. In America, it does, because there's no male U.S. tennis stars. No. There's only female.
I just remember Andre Agassi. Pete Sampras. When was that? 15, 20, 30 years ago?
It was a long time ago.
Who got stabbed?
Monica Seles. Yeah, we've talked about her on this one.
We've talked about it, and I still haven't looked it up, but because it sounds so crazy.
Yeah, stabbed on the court. I mean, I guess that's a tearjerker, but it's like a sad, very, very sad one.
There's an amazing commercial. I think it's for Google, but it was like, I think it was during Black History Month, but it was like the number one Google tennis player, Serena Williams. The number one national anthem is Whitney Houston. And it was just how, like, the number one of everything is a Black person, searched-wise. And that just, when people talk shit about women's tennis, it's like, I only think Serena.
Yeah.
When people, when people say tennis, that's the first person to pop in my head.
Yeah.
Okay, CJ, give us your number two pick.
So I admittedly don't know much about more than the event itself, but Derek Redmond during the Olympics, and you guys would notice...
That's on my list.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, then chime in, because I don't know much story other than, like, I would always see this in montages.
Doing research for it, just on the Wikipedia, I cried twice.
Yeah. Wow. Just the basics. He, in the Olympics, British runner, his hamstring snapped.
Oh, my God.
And midway through the race, and his dad ran past security and had him and like, carried him because he was like, we have to finish this.
Yeah. The thing is, he had a lot of injuries, this player. He was always surgeries. There was always, like, a lot of trauma. But he had beaten the 400-meter race. And he had British world records in it. He was, like, very good. And then, fucking snapped. He fell to the ground screaming. And he was just like, I'm going to fucking finish this race. And his dad helped him, and they leaned. And he limped his way to the end to a standing ovation in Barcelona. And... his dad actually lit the torch in the London Summer Games in 2012. He was chosen to lit the torch. Yeah. So that was, and it became just this moment, like it's been used in commercials everywhere, and it's just this moment of finishing. But he was disqualified, obviously, someone had to help him. But
wait, he didn't win? Well, they should have redid the race
it's
and
like,
had everyone
listen,
else's dad
Olympics, we cried the most. He gets the gold medal. Those are the rules now.
But we talk about how heartbreaking that is, because Olympics every 4 years, and you are like, you have these other events in between, but man, you are eye on the Olympics.
Well, I'm thinking about the Olympians for this year COVID.
Yeah.
They just don't even have one, and they're going to have it next year, but it's like, who knows what that does to their training and to their bodies and to the people who are like, I was kind of pushing it age-wise. Like, it's,
that they should have tried. Oh, no, because it's everywhere from ever. It's like people from everywhere. You can't even bubble it up.
No, and if they were going to bubble it up, I think the U.S., they'd be like, you're not welcome. Like, you're not invited. We would have to do our own, like, COVID games.
Yeah, I'm surprised we don't have Zoom Olympics.
What do you mean?
We should have Zoom Olympics. Like, people have to run back, like, run the 40-inch dash in their office or something. It's a stupid joke.
Oh,
jeez,
okay.
You can't even give me anything. Just got to stare at me.
I just know it just sounded like something that you were trying to pitch for your job.
No. No, yeah, actually, it's a good idea.
Yeah, that, well, it also says so much about, like, parenthood and, like,
well, yeah, because
the sacrifices
it could have been a
make.
Coach. It could have been a lot of things. But because it was his father, it definitely ups the emotional.
Yeah.
Thing and being able to
and he's a,
finish.
He's a sick Just Do It hat on. As he, it's just like Nike must have been like, oh, this is the commercial for the next 20 years.
Yeah.
Before you go out there, put on this Just Do It hat.
Yeah, he probably didn't have a hat on. And they were like, you need a the son, you need a hat.
Yeah.
No, there's a famous moment in Survivor, the TV show, where Suri, like, she's just not strong enough, and her team obviously lost. But in her head, she was like, I have to do this for my kids. My kids need to see me not give up. But then, and she does finally get up on the thing and, like, finishes the race. But a part of me does think, like, I don't know if I would. I know it's a thing we admire, but I don't know. I don't know.
What
is the importance of finishing? Like, I wonder the psychology and, like, what all of it means.
I have the heart of a quitter.
Why do you say that? I don't think so.
Okay. I mean, look at my office.
What does that mean? It's a nice office.
It's in disarray.
We just have like a lot of wedding gifts that we were going to exchange.
You might just not care about housewares. That doesn't mean you're a quitter in everything. I was about to say, you know, you keep writing scripts. That's
yeah. You keep writing scripts. I've seen you really bomb and you keep doing
Yeah, being a working comedian is definitely, never mind. I know. Yeah. There is no end. There's nothing.
Yeah, it's just what your like mental illness gears you toward. It's like, listen, we're not going to do a marathon, but I'll bomb in Wisconsin 5 nights in a row.
Yeah, I mean, I did my first show in 6 months the day that the smog and smoke was so bad in California. The air quality, they said, was like smoking 20 packs a day. And I was like, well, I'm not canceling.
How many people were there? Audience,
I would say like 15.
Wow.
Maybe 20, because I'm bad at that, but I would say 15.
Have you guys ever done a set where you had like 15 minutes, but you're bombing so hard you just are like, all right, good night, like 8 minutes in?
Yeah.
I
had one for sure.
I've also had many bombs where I went over because I kept being like, I'll get them.
Yeah.
Let me have some more time. I'll get them. And it's like, now I'm just bombing for longer and running the light and everyone hates me.
Well, it's also like experience, because when I was younger, I definitely have a moment where I had to waitress the show and then I went up, bombed, and then had to continue waitressing. And what sucks about that in my, I didn't know how to get out of it. I kept...
Yeah.
And Ken Barnard took me aside and went, listen, I'm so glad I got this advice early on. He goes, they already don't like it. Step back, change it up, and do something different. Like, what you're doing isn't working. And so now I feel I would keep, like, I'd be like, oh, well, you guys fucking hate me. Like, I would kind of turn on them or fuck with them or do something.
As a producer of a comedy show, I mean... Back then, we didn't have a choice, but now I'm like, I don't want to seat these people or like all that give or like take their tickets and then go on stage. You know, it's just like, I feel like it's preventable now.
It's a little embarrassing.
It's a little embarrassing, but so is, a lot of the things in our career. But shout out.
Well, I mean, I remember getting off stage at like a giant club and a guy being like, come here. And so I walk over and I'm like, I'm about to get a compliment. And he's like, can you give me a Diet Coke?
Oof.
Like, I wasn't the waitress and he thought I was the waitress.
What did you
the
say?
Audacity.
I go, oh, yeah, I'll tell somebody. Of course. I was like, yeah, I'll get somebody to get
no,
you.
No, I do. I mean, I do it because we're all humans, but sometimes I'll be standing waiting to go up and someone will be like, where's the bathroom? And I'm like, just, it's there. Go away.
Yeah.
I'm like, clearly about to go up.
But have you ever, like, hung out by the bathroom after a good set?
No. Hung out by the bathroom?
No, like, hung out in, like, the common area where you're like, I'm going to get some compliments. Help
me. Yeah, maybe.
And then you don't. Or you're like, maybe people want to meet me. That went well. And then everyone's just zooming by you.
Yeah.
Like, going to the Chili's next door.
Hey, good job. Yeah, I hate those, like, yeah.
Oh, my God, you'll love this, Megan. I bombed at a nursing home once. And afterwards, this old woman goes, I mean, do you need some jokes? I can give you some jokes.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Now I am. Give me some jokes.
Yeah, there are times where I have taken, we always talk about annoying audience members who come up and try to give you tags. I've taken a tag or two.
Listen, people are like, I have this idea. I'm like, I'll hear it. I'm going to hear it. It may be good.
All right, Megan, you're up.
My number two pick is the Iowa Hawkeyes tradition of waving. So the Iowa Hawkeyes football stadium is built in a location. And then directly across from the football stadium, they built a children's hospital. The University of Iowa did. And so after the first quarter of every single home football game, the entire stadium turns and waves to the children's hospital. And on game days, only the children and the children's families are allowed in the hospital. And they they bring them all towards the windows and they all wave to each other. And
you got to see this, Lisa.
Really beautiful and magical. Yeah.
I can't believe I've never heard of this.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely like a sensation, and it's considered, you know, college football has like a lot of traditions, and this is for sure considered the best one. And like, I had to read an article today that was like, myths about it. The Iowa Hawkeye football team did not build the children's hospital. And it's like, yeah, of course. I didn't think a college football team built a children's hospital. But it, yeah, went viral a few years ago. It's really so wonderful. I mean, yeah, I just love, I don't love sick kids. I obviously don't want kids to be sick. But like athletes interacting with children that are like going through such a difficult thing is always so beautiful to see.
Athletes are a sign of hope. And for the whole stadium to acknowledge that is just, yeah. I mean, it's so good that we, on House of Highlights, again, like we're picky about what we post. Like we post it every time and there's nothing different about it each time.
Yeah. But it's just sweet and makes everybody feel good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's take a quick back. Well, huh? Let's take a quick break. CJ, this is like your dream come true.
I didn't
happening.
Say nothing.
Let's take a quick break and then we'll be back with our number one picks.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And guess what? So are we.
Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a 6-time finalist and a Challenge champion.
And I'm Anissa Ferrer, and I've been gracing your screens for the last 2 decades. I am a veteran challenger and Challenge All-Star.
And speaking of All-Stars, All-Stars 4 is finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the Challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one all-star will claim the title of Challenge Champion.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, and we are back. Our number one picks are up and ready to go. CJ, do you have any honorable mentions?
I mean, all of the Buffalo Bills Super Bowls, I keep going to sad. I didn't cry when those happened. I cried when I watched that documentary.
Yeah.
That is one of the four falls of Buffalo. That's what it's called, right? Something like that. But yeah, the Bills going to the Super Bowl 4 times in a row and losing each time is, if I was a Bills fan, like, I would cry every time.
Well, you know what my parents did?
Yeah, they became Colts fans.
They said, we got to get off this train.
Yeah.
You got a worse team? We're going to root for them.
Yeah.
But they would be happy if the Bills won, right?
Oh, absolutely. And we still, like, the Bills are their second favorite team, for sure. They still, like, want them to do well.
I love Bills gear.
Oh, I love Bills gear.
I feel the gear is so good.
Yes.
I'm going to get Bills hat after this.
Oh, I think the Sabres gear is great. Like, Buffalo does have...
I think New Era is there.
Yep.
Oh, interesting.
Friends with my sister and her husband.
Wow, a lot of Buffalo connections.
Home of Violet.
Yes. Okay. Home of Viola subs. CJ, so that's your honorable mention. And then do you have your number one pick?
Yeah, I'm sorry. It made me cry the most, but the 2016 NBA Finals Game 7.
Cleveland won?
Yeah, and I don't need to explain it much anymore. I've said it so many times in this podcast, but I was working at Bleacher Report 2 weeks in, you know.
Sorry, our neighbor is taking out his trash right
now. That's all right. That happens when you record outside. But I didn't know I was going to cry. I wasn't like, I'm going to cry if they're going to win. Like, again, it was 2 weeks in. I was working with employees or coworkers I just met. They don't know anything about me, really. And we're watching the game, and it happened. I just couldn't believe it. I wasn't going to believe it until it happened. And then just, again, it was a flood of what it all meant. And it was like LeBron coming back to his hometown, coming back from 3-1, which at that time was not like it never happened in sports, and winning it for his hometown. And that was his promise. When he came back, he went in front of all of Ohio and promised that he wasn't leaving or he was going to win one for them. I didn't want to put words in his mouth, but like, because he did leave. But yeah, he promised he was going to win one. Again, a guy who already has had so much pressure in his life, doesn't owe anything to anybody, and promised that, added that pressure to him, and he won. And he won it under such insane odds.
Well, we have a famous story that our friends are married from Cleveland.
Yeah.
And he cried when the game happened.
Yeah.
But she got mad because he did not cry at their wedding.
Yeah.
CJ also did not cry at our wedding.
Yes, I did.
I did not see a tear.
I mean, I did. But, I mean, yeah, but tell people about your IG story poll the other day.
What?
What was it?
About the LeBron and you.
Oh, yeah. I did a poll that says, does CJ love me or LeBron more? And it was like 76% LeBron. And I said, that's fine. I'm okay with that.
I hope they were kidding. That is not true.
I don't even care if it is, CJ.
Oh, my gosh.
He's done a lot more with his life.
So, and I really like Cleveland. I grew up 90 miles outside of it, and I think they're owed.
Listen.
Not owed. They deserve to win some.
There's no three people not from Cleveland that love Cleveland more than the three of us right here.
I mean, we have multiple Cleveland stands.
We ride hard for Cleveland. We decorated a friend's home in Cleveland gear this past week.
Everyone during the pandemic is like, I miss New York. I miss traveling. I'm like, yeah, I miss going to Cleveland. Like, truly, I have a lot of work and
love the comedy there. Love the food there.
Love the food there.
Listen, they're not giving up sweets there. They're going hard for sweets.
I wouldn't mind if the Indians. I mean, I'd root for the Indians. I don't know if I'd root for them over the Dodgers, but I'd root for the Indians.
I root for the Indians to change their name. and then I root for them. I wish them well after that.
I bought a mustard from that stadium.
Yeah.
Jacob? No, not Jacob.
It's like a special mustard. You gotta get this mustard. So I bought the mustard.
What's so special about it?
It's like a spicy,
Cleveland-y.
It's a good mustard. But, you know, it has an offensive label on it.
Lisa and I went to like the uncorking of the Christmas ale. Like we are.
Ooh, I love a Christmas ale from Ohio.
So good. Okay.
Yeah.
So now I am up. I have three honorable mentions. Tyler Trent, who was a Purdue football super fan who got bone cancer and then became like friends with the team. The Colts owner flew him and his family on his plane to be able to see Purdue play. He has since passed away, but he was 20. So he was like old enough to like be their friend. Like they were peers, not like, oh, you're like a mascot. And he just became like such a symbol of like strength for almost like the entire state of Indiana. And when he passed, it really, I cried and I was sad for sure. Serena Williams making her return to Indian Wells in 2001. It was just a complete catastrophe and like racial things being yelled at her and Venus and her dad while they sat and watched her. And so the sisters vowed to never go to Indian Wells ever again. And then she made her return 13 years later and like amazing signs and was welcomed back. And I think the fan turnover had changed. Like I as a country, we knew like maybe a little bit more about how ingrained racism was, but she cried before the match even started. Like, she just walked out there, and I think she genuinely felt like, I'm happy to be back here and they are happy to have me. And then when Steph Curry made, like, promised that young girl that he would make girls' shoes.
Oh, yeah.
I love that. She wrote a letter and was like, why aren't there any girls' shoes? And then he, like, met her, I think.
Sent her a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
I think they could have met, but yeah, then sent her a bunch of female-specific.
Yeah. And then he vowed to, like, make female basketball shoes.
There's been a lot of strides in that because of that moment.
Yes, absolutely. And then my number one moment is Stuart Scott accepting the Jimmy V Award at the 2014 ESPYs.
Yeah.
We were actually at a Mexican restaurant in New York, and the ESPYs was on, and Stuart Scott was battling, like, late-stage cancer at that point and gave such a beautiful speech. His teenage daughters were there, and he said, like, I am here because of you. You are my heartbeat. And someone who is, like, so funny, so cool, you know, dying and being extremely vulnerable and thankful for all of, like, the blessings in his life. And, I mean, the ESPYs just is, like, a gut. I mean, I've stood backstage and cried at them. They just, like, Pat Summitt had an incredible Arthur Ashe acceptance there. Like, they just really do tearjerkers beautifully.
The Jimmy V one itself.
The Jimmy V one that, like, launched it all. But Stuart Scott, watching him give that speech, I like sobbed beginning to end. Like, even just thinking about his life and his passing brings me to tears. And I just love him and really miss him.
So yeah. Beat that, Lisa.
What's great is I'm not even going to try. So since one of mine was taken, I've been like, what am I doing? Trying to think. And I found a Bleacher Report list, and I want to cry at all of them. Yeah. And they are really good. I can't wait to watch them. It's like Cal Ripken's final at bat. I want to watch that. There's one where this high school girl is carrying another one. There's a lot of, like, coming back after
injuries
and, like, dad's dying and stuff. So the Saints, you know, these all seem really great. I'm going to stick to what I know, and it is a movie, so that sucks. Okay. But
no, it doesn't.
I do cry at Remember the Titans a lot. And this might be controversial because there's obviously, like, white savior stuff on it. But the end of The Blind Side, when they show the real version of him being drafted, really makes me cry every time.
Yeah.
And then I wish I had more specific names, but anyone getting drafted and like the beginning of someone's dreams coming true, always, I like that. So I would say drafts.
Drafts are great. Our friend AJ, who we had on the podcast, did this incredible thing. I think it was like 3 drafts ago where she had people from the football players' lives write them letters, and so they got drafted, and then they came off stage and they read these letters from their mom, their high school coach, whoever it was, and it is like
just balling.
The most magical, amazing thing, because most of these guys have lived through incredible adversity and have had someone, like, in their corner, and then this person that was in their corner is being like, I'm so proud of you, you are one in a million, you, like, made it happen. Oh, it's really beautiful.
If you said a movie, I want to say one from a documentary. Remember Undefeated?
Yeah.
Oh my God. You got to watch it. I mean, everyone's got to watch it. I don't know. It won an Oscar and no one knows
what
about
is it.
It's about a high school football team in Memphis, in like inner city team, and who've never won. And this one player who was like the Rudy, he's actually still pretty good. And they go to his house throughout the movie and it's just like falling apart. He's, you know, from a poor family. And he, like, tore his ACL or something, but he's like a really good student, and he didn't expect to go to college. And right before practice, when he was coming back, they get word that he's all 4 years of his college is going to be paid for
by an anonymous
donor. An anonymous guy who I think is Puff Daddy.
He was a producer on the
movie. But it is like that movie is so good. It has the funniest moments and very, very sad and beautiful. Yeah,
and The Blind Side, it's like a controversial moment, but I did like the movie and that it is based in fact. I don't know.
The last time I saw The Blind Side was at a dry bar in Indianapolis. That was the movie they were playing, and I'm like, this is the perfect movie for a dry bar in Indiana. Just like white women getting their blonde hair blown out, being like, we are good. We are. See, we're pretty good.
That Sandra. I just, you know, and getting siblings and the meetings with the, like, and what school he went to. I just loved it all.
Yeah.
And
he's a real guy. And
for all
and
movies.
He won a Super Bowl.
I do. Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. For all movies, I love when they show at the end the real life of what was happening. Like, that's always great.
Yeah.
Wait, what team did he win a Super Bowl?
The Ravens.
Yeah. Nice. I was also going to say, I heard Rudy is a dick.
I'm sure. I've never liked Rudy. The film, I don't care. Or I don't care about Notre Dame as a whole.
Okay. Yeah. Wow.
I don't. Sorry. Irish Catholic from Indiana. And guess what? Notre Dame, you can go fuck yourself. With you and your touchdown, Jesus.
Well, Lisa, thank you so much for being on the show.
You. I feel like I'm sorry I ended with a controversial movie pick, but
no, but you like the
no
real life guy.
Yeah, I do.
That's very nice. Do you want to promote your podcast that's coming out soon, or is it too early?
Not yet.
Okay.
But stay tuned.
Okay.
But watch all of Lisa's. She has
Glitter Cheese.
Glitter Cheese is on
her
Instagram
handle for Twitter and,
Instagram.
And I have an album called Glitter Cheese too.
Oh, it's called Glitter Cheese. I didn't know.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah. That's all you got to remember. Actually, I learned on the cover where I have a gold necklace that says Glitter Cheese is the same place where you guys have your gold nameplate necklaces that Aaron went.
Yeah,
for our wedding. Did Aaron give it to you?
No, but we have a stylist in common.
Oh, that thing cut my hair the other day.
Well,
my hair
you seem to have allergies to things that I didn't know you could have allergies to.
I have worn it though. I've worn my Clyde one or my Meggie one before. But yeah, Megan.
Oh, you can follow me at Megan Gailey, at Better Megan Gailey on Instagram. New Bubble Show on Thursday, and yeah. Just rate, review, subscribe, send us any recommendations. I've been promising we're going to do Greatest Canadian for like 6 months. We will do it. But if you have any other ideas, please let us know.
Was that Wayne Gretzky?
Yeah, but is he Canadian? That's the thing.
Yes,
I gotta like,
is.
Yeah, I gotta like, it would be mostly hockey, I think, yes. And then maybe Mike Myers.
Is he curling?
there's some good
Some ice skating duos, I feel.
Yeah, there's some Canadian basketball players, for sure.
Steve Nash. Okay, CJ.
Name more Canadian.
No, do you want people to follow you?
Do people send in suggestions of what to do?
Not as much as I'd like.
Yeah, well, they do, and they send some pics that we forgot, which are always helpful and cool. But yeah, send topics.
People have been accusing me of sounding drunk, even when I'm sober. You know, we get some fan interaction, and we always want more. Always.
Yeah, we want more fan interaction. We want you guys to do our work for us.
Okay, say your hand.
Because it is hard coming up with these topics.
It is, but this was a great topic picked from you. Yeah. You suggested it. You can follow me at CJ Toledano on everything.
Okay, awesome. Thank you guys so much for listening. Be safe. Make sure you're registered to vote. And you've got all of that situated. If you are healthy and well enough to be a poll worker, I'm going to do it. Let's do it, I guess. Thanks so much for listening, and we will talk to you next week.
Thank you.
The Greatest is a production of iHeartRadio.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.